We're talking about experiencing joy, right? And we're looking at Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. Philippians is the name of the letter or the book. And we're going to go to chapter 1, verses 12 through 19. And Paul is going to continue from his introduction where he said, we have a new position. He talks to the holy ones or the saints. He's writing to everyone who's named Jesus as Savior. And he says, you have a new position, and that brings a lot of joy. And he talks about the power of prayer and how he prayed joyfully and with thanksgiving for the church in Philippi. Now we're going into this part. Verse 12, he says this, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. I'm going to pause real quick. Here meant prison. So he's in prison. He's not writing from the Holiday Inn or from some cabin that he rented to go do some writing. He's in prison. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. Okay, I'm in this circumstance because of Jesus. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or they're genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way. So I will rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. May God give a blessing to his word as we begin to open it up. And I have four takeaways from this that can help us, I believe, to experience joy in all circumstances, no matter what we're facing. Let's go to the first point. Joyful is the man or woman who finds the good even in the worst of circumstances. Joyful is that man, and joyful is that woman. I just preached that sermon last week on experiencing joy and excited, and you know, God did some amazing things. And then during the week, I got a phone call from my daughter that my son-in-law's dad, grandfather, who's a wonderful, wonderful friend of the family, came to church here many times, got saved here, got baptized, and he was being taken care of by the EMTs. He'd been called. He was unresponsive after he had watched some television, and so he's up in age. He told me, I'm ready to go, but how many of you know that even when people are ready to go, we're not ready for them to go? And so my son-in-law, who is on the SWAT in Las Cruces, New Mexico, had to take time off to come over here to care for his dad. And as he's driving down, I'll never forget this, because he's very guarded. He doesn't show a lot of emotions as most people in civil service, that high-end civil service. They kind of guard themselves because they deal with so much. And so that's who he is in his personality. And as he's driving, he tells my daughter, and my grandkids had never seen him cry. And so he tells the my daughter and the grandkids, he says, it hurts so much. It's painful. My heart physically hurts for the loss of my granddad. And so there are sometimes very bad circumstances in our life. Amen? But joyful is the man and joyful is the woman that finds the good even in the worst of circumstances. And Paul teaches us that. You know, Paul wrote, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, and everything that has happened to me here has helped. It's helped to spread the good news. It's doing good. Have you noticed that when someone says, I want you to know, they say it because it's important for you to know the background. It's important for you to know what the context of what's going on in their life. I want you to know, Paul said, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, what was going on in Paul's life? Well, from the beginning of Paul's ministry, Jesus said, he's a chosen vessel of mine, and I must show him how he must suffer for my kingdom. He's going to go before kings, and he's going to go before queens, Gentiles and Jews. He's going to go and suffer. Now, we don't preach that a lot in church, but we should. That our joy doesn't come from our circumstance, our joy comes from a Savior. And in our circumstance, that message of joy, that message that God is good in everything, that should be available for everybody. Because just like I preached the message on Sunday of last week about experiencing joy, and then the week hits, and circumstances hit with the week, we find that we got to put the rubber to the road. We find that are we really experiencing joy? But we really need to know that our joy doesn't come from our circumstances. Our joy comes from our Savior. And it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. You know, Paul he was prophesied. There was a guy by the name of Agabus. And in the book of Acts, about chapter 21, Agabus comes to a meeting where Paul is at, and he says, the Holy Spirit's telling me that this man, and he looks to Paul, this man will be, and he wraps his hand and he binds himself. This man will be bound like this and be taken away and imprisoned. And so the Lord was even speaking through Agabus, and Paul said, I don't care if they imprison me or whatever they do, I'm going to do whatever God calls me to do for his glory. Well, have you ever said that? I don't care what happens to me in my life, I'm going to serve God no matter what, and then life happens. Amen? And that's exactly what's going on in Paul's life. But not only was he taken bound into prison and taken into Rome, he was falsely accused by his own people. He was almost torn in two by his own people. There was a mob that wanted to kill him. And all of this was for the sake of the gospel. Then he was flogged and he would be beat. He would have been beat to death, but as he was being beat so bad, he said, whoa, wait a minute. Is it lawful for you to beat a Roman citizen? And those that were beating him were like, you're a Roman citizen? Because they knew that it was unlawful. And so God intervened even through that. And then he was tried with an unfair trial. He was mocked. He was shamed. And then he was put in prison. And this is just the short version of the story. This is all that the Apostle Paul went through. But what we find in this letter where he's writing to the Philippians is that he said, this was for good. This was for good. And you know what else I notice about what we just read right now? Do you notice that Paul doesn't blame the devil for what he's going through? So many times Christians say, well, the devil, he's making this happen and God is allowing it. Or Paul did not make it about himself. Look at what I'm going through. Never talked about himself. Never talked about how bad it was. And have you ever been in prison? If you have, you know, raise your hand. No, you don't have to. I'm just kidding. Not for a long time, Pastor. I was there, but it wasn't long. It's never good. It's never fun. Amen? So he didn't make it about himself. He didn't make it about his suffering. He doesn't talk about, oh, how bad my suffering is. Oh, how bad it was. He made it about the good of God. He made it about no matter what we're facing, God has a plan. I met with my covenant group, my pastor's covenant group. I meet with them. I've been meeting with them for over 10 years. Out of North Tucson, there's five of us, four of us now, because one of them went with Jesus. And the one that went with Jesus, a very prominent pastor in Oro Valley, his wife was diagnosed with cancer. And we walked him through that. And 8 months later, after she was diagnosed with cancer, he was diagnosed with cancer. He died before his wife. His wife died a year after he died. But through all that circumstance, through all that difficulty, guess what? He never stopped giving glory to Jesus. His message in his suffering was more powerful than his message when he didn't suffer. Because he knew that God was good no matter what he faces. The Apostle James put it like this: "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way," and how many of you have had those troubles of any kind in your life? "Consider it an opportunity for great joy." James, what are you talking about? What in the world are you saying? When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Let me say something to you. In your greatest circumstance, in your greatest trial right now, are you allowing for your faith to grow? Or are you not giving any room for your faith to grow because you're grumbling and complaining about how bad it is? Are you so fixated on saying the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil, and not understanding that God has put you in that place, allowed for you to be there, so that his word can be glorified? So that it's not just when things are good that we glorify God, but even when things are bad. Here's what the leaders that have been installed, what they know and what they need to know, that things are not going to be peachy. Things aren't peachy. We go through difficult times. We go through difficult things, but we have the faithfulness of God in whatever we go through. And he's going to grow us. He's going to make us better. Our suffering, and we all have it, is accompanied with God's joy, producing something good in our life. Let's go back to Paul. "You need to know that all this has happened to me so that the gospel of Jesus could be spread." Because here's the thing about it. That Praetorian guard that was chained to him, and he thought he was guarding Paul, and he thought, "He's chained to me so that he can't get away." Actually, it was the other way around. He was chained to Paul so he couldn't get away, so that Paul could share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever been in a plane, and have you ever gotten in a plane and you're like, "Oh, I just want some alone time. I don't want to talk to anybody." If you've ever pastored, those are the kind of things that you think. "I don't have to speak today. I can just go and be idle," and then they put someone next to you. And you're thinking, especially when they're real chatty, right? You know, the real chatty people. "How are you?" And you act like you're asleep. "I was good. I was resting real good." But then you have to think about it. Did the airline put them next to me, or did Jesus? You know, you do dialysis, and you go and you sit on a chair, and they're tending to you. And if you're a child of God, are you there because of dialysis, or are you there because they need to hear about Jesus? Are you with me? You know, there are things that happen in this world that I can't explain. I don't know why these things happen, but I do know this. I know that God is in control. I do know that no matter what we're facing, that it's an opportunity for good. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Rome, he says this: "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good This is everything. He's not like saying, you know what, there are some things we're going to exclude. There are some things we're not going to talk about because these are like the bad circumstances. No, he says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I was reading this morning before I came to the church about, in my time of devotion, reading about James and John. They were brothers, sons of Zebedee, and they're with Jesus. And there's one place in the Gospels where it says their mom came to Jesus and said, can you please put them on one side and the other on the throne? You know where the throne is, Lord? Can you please put my sons on each side? You know how you moms are. My son should be pitching. My son should be batting cleanup. My son. Right? You know how we are as parents. And Jesus says, no, that's been ordained for whom the Father has chosen. But he said this, are you able to drink the cup of suffering that I'm going to drink? Are you able to drink the cup of suffering that I'm going to drink? Sometimes as Christ followers, we think that everything's supposed to be perfect. But instead, it should be that in everything, we serve the perfect one. No matter what we're going through, we trust that the Lord is in control. Here's the second thing. Joyful is a man or woman who is an example to others by sharing the gospel of Jesus where people so desperately need to know and experience the love of God. People around us want to know and actually need to know that what we have is real. People around us, when they see our difficulty, but do not see the joy of Jesus, they don't see anything different than they see in the world. But the people that we know, that see the joy of God working through us, even in the most difficult of places, they see something else that's supernatural. You see, what we have is not natural. The Holy Spirit who dwells in James Reese, that's not natural. That's supernatural. That's not my doing. That's his doing. And that means that every day has an opportunity, every day has an opportunity in itself for me to make a difference in someone else. A difference that will bring glory to God. A difference that says to them, he's different. How do you have such peace? How do you have such joy? How do you navigate through such difficulty? I'll never forget for my mom's funeral service. I spoke there, and one of my relatives who was very hard, and he said, I cannot believe that you're laughing and you're joking and you're saying all kinds of things that you're talking when your mom just died. I said, well, I know where my mom is. Death doesn't have the last word. Her confession of Jesus had the last word. Her eternal life didn't start the day she died. Her eternal life started the day she said yes to Jesus. And that's what you need to know here as well. You need to know this online is your eternal life does not start the day you die. Your eternal life starts the day you say yes to Jesus. You become born again and you become a child of the living God. Hear me now. You become a child of the living God. Which means that you're alive. Paul said in verse 13 and 14 of chapter 1, for everyone here, including the whole palace guard, they know that I am in chains because of Christ. How did they know that? Because he said it to them. Because he spoke to them. He was able to share the love of God. Verse 14, and because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained, not diminished, they've gained confidence and they boldly speak God's message without fear. Do we make people around us better? Or are they worse because of your witness? Do you complain about your circumstances or do you say, God be glorified in my circumstance? It's a choice that we have. Difficulty is actually an opportunity. Hear me now. Difficulty in our life is actually an opportunity for you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is real. I don't know what you're going through, but God does. Your circumstance may be very difficult, but let me tell you, the God that I know is bigger than your circumstance. Your illness right now, it might be getting the best of you, but it's not getting the best of God. Are you with me? And so either these words are true or they're not. I have to believe that they are. That God is big and that he's able to do what we can't. Paul writing to Timothy, he said this in 2 Timothy 4:5. He says, keep a clear mind in every situation. I think that's a great word. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Oh my goodness. It's in the Bible again. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. Work at what? At telling others the good news. Can I tell you something? You have the best news that anyone could ever hear if you got Jesus. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. He's not against you. He's for you. He's with you. He'll empower you. He'll be there. But what he wants you to do is not be ashamed. And the more that you speak for him, the more that he flows through you. There's a lady, a young lady by the name of Jackie Hill Perry. And Jackie Hill Perry came out of a life of same-sex attraction. She was, many, many things have happened in her life. She's got a big platform. If you follow Jackie Hill Perry, she's an amazing woman. The things that come out of her mouth, the things that come out of her books are changing the landscape of so many people because of what God has done in her life. And this is what Jackie said. She said, evangelism, which is what we're supposed to be doing, hear me now, we should be sharing the Lord, we should be sharing the word, people should be hearing about Jesus, not through the pastor always, but through you. Are you with me? People need to see that evangelism is a word that means to share the good news. More specifically, in this case, the good news of the gospel. And this evangelism is all about God because the gospel is all about God. It is God who created us, God who we all sinned against. It is God who loved us, God who sent his son, Christ, to earth. It is Christ who lived the life that we couldn't. It is Christ who died the death that we deserve. It is Christ who appeased God's wrath. It is Christ that rose from the dead. It is Christ who sent his promised Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that unveils our eyes to see the glory of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who softens our hardened hearts so that we will repent. It is Christ who we are commanded to place our faith in. It is Christ who saves us, and it is Christ that gives us eternal life. Are we sharing Christ? How many of you in here are ashamed to share the one that everybody needs? How many of us in here are afraid to share the good news that is going to debunk the bad news that everybody lives in? How many of us in here do we put less emphasis on our circumstances and put more emphasis on the Savior and the God who's bigger than them? That's what God has called us to do. I'm going to give you the last 2 points quickly. Joyful are those who keep it real with the genuine love of God, even amongst the pretenders of the faith, and you will have those. Paul talks about the pretenders of the faith. He says, these people are doing, they're preaching so that they can hurt me. The Apostle Paul had those people. Jesus had those people in his life that did things so that they could hurt him. You will have people. There's going to be pretenders and there's going to be the real deal. There's people with a testimony and there's people with a testimony. There's money in the testimony. That money is what God gives us. A testimony has no merit. A testimony is always looking for the bad. It's always looking to hurt people, even those that are called by God. He says, it's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful. But he said, Paul said, it doesn't matter how it's preached. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice because my Savior is bigger than my pain. I'm adding that as a commentary. The last point is, blessed is a man or woman who refuse to allow their joy to be robbed, but instead they trust in the truth of the gospel and the power of prayer. That doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way. So I will rejoice. And I will continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me, and that prayer is joined with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, it helps me, and this will lead to my deliverance. Because what we need to know without a shadow of a doubt from the Apostle Paul is that it does not matter if there's pretenders or if there's circumstances or if there's situations that we're facing or that we're in, that the God that we have in Jesus is a God that produces joy that we could never, ever, ever produce ourselves. And if that's not true, let's just go to the lake right now. Let's go skiing at sunrise. Let's get out of here. If that's not true, you are the foolish of fools by listening to a man talk to you about what I'm saying. But it is true. It is true that the God of the universe chose to become a man and dwell with us. And it said from the angel, I bring you good news for all people, that today is born the Savior of the world. That's who gives us joy. I know, beloved, I know that some of you are in pain because of circumstances. I know that some of you are going through things or have come out of things that are beyond our understanding. But I'll tell you right now that this Jesus I'm talking about, he's real. And his joy is real as well. Would you consider today to make him bigger than your circumstance? Would you consider today to say, I trust you, Lord, and I will trust you in and through my circumstance? Because I'm going to say this, I'm going to promise you something, because I can, because I trust him and I've seen him work in my life, that whatever circumstance you're in, you'll get through it. I promise you. I have gone places where people were about to take their lives. I have been to places where they said, I just want to die. I've been there. And now these people are leading organizations. These people are doing great things. Those circumstances will end. You'll get through. But here's what I say to you, beloved. Put Jesus in your circumstance because he's greater. Are you with me? That's what separates us from everybody else. Do not be a pretender. Stop being a pretender where you come to church but you act so differently than what God would have you act. Trust him and let him change you from the inside out and be a witness for the glory of God. So, Father, I thank you for every person here. But more than that, Lord God, I thank you for you being here. Thank you that your presence is manifested, it's real. And I ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will work in us and through us, that we will not leave this message here, but we'll walk it out in our lives and bring glory to your name. There are people in every person's life that are sitting here today who need to know that Jesus is real. They need to know that your joy is real. They need to know that your peace is real. And I pray, Lord, that it will be manifested today and this week in Jesus' name. And we pray this. Amen and amen.
When the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes to you.